Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as state director for CEF of Illinois.
Have you ever wondered, why do we pray, and what is the connection between prayer and ministry? In the book of Acts, running through its pages like a major highway is the focus of prayer and ministry. The book of Acts underscores both the importance of prayer and ministry and the purpose of prayer and ministry. When you read through the book of Acts, you're compelled to ask this question: why did the early believers fall to their knees so often in prayer, and why were they so devoted to one another through prayer? It was because they knew they were absolutely dependent upon God, and they could do nothing and accomplish nothing without God apart from dependent prayer. From the opening pages in the book of Acts, we see, first of all, the importance of prayer. Right after the disciples received the Great Commission by their living Lord and Savior in Acts chapter 1, what do we find the disciples doing? The disciples had just been told by the Lord Jesus that they were his chosen witnesses unto him, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. They were God's chosen instruments to bear the name of Christ to all people everywhere. Yet the first thing that we see the disciples doing is not jumping into local or worldwide ministry, but committing themselves first to prayer. In Acts 1:14, we read these important words that says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." Now, we could almost just stop right there, couldn't we? Just to internalize this prayer ministry model and to take it in. You know, so often when we are asked or commissioned to take part in any ministry, we want to jump in with both feet first and pray later, or pray as we go, or pray when there's a crisis in ministry. But this is not what the disciples did. They knew right from the jump that this commission given to them by their Lord of proclaiming Christ, proclaiming Jesus from their backyard in Jerusalem to the uttermost part of the earth, was way too big for them and too far out of reach that they must fall before the Lord together in united dependent prayer. The importance of prayer is underscored by the purpose of prayer. Prayer and ministry connection is simply saying to the Lord, "Lord, I can't, but I know and trust that only you can." In Acts chapter 2, we see this prayer ministry pattern continue. Before the day of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit, what were the disciples and believers in Christ, what were they doing? Well, Luke, the author of Acts, says they were all with one accord in one place, which is just another way of describing that the believers were united together, not just in a place, but in prayer. It was through this united and dependent prayer that God ordained to be the means, the channel, that the Holy Spirit would come and fall upon his people, bringing about the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost. That day, Peter, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, stood up and proclaimed the gospel, boldly proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the Christ. And that day, on day one of the church, 3,000 people believed on Jesus. Here we not only see the importance of prayer, the purpose of prayer, but also the power of prayer, of this prayer ministry connection model in the book of Acts. Over and again, we see in Acts that fruitful ministry is first bathed and bathed in dependent prayer. In fact, one of the core devotions that we read early in the book of Acts is that the believers, their practice, their steadfast commitment to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship and breaking of bread, but also of their commitment to the practice of prayer. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1, we read an intriguing verse that says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." Now the ninth hour is just a Jewish time clock to say it was 3 p.m., which was the time of the evening sacrifice, which meant that it was not only a time of worship, but a time of prayer. The apostles, you know, they had to be busy people. I mean, after all, look what just had happened. Over 3,000 people just days before had come to Christ. And yet also the Bible said the Lord was adding daily to the church those who were being saved. And yet, what do we see? These busy apostles, these leaders of the apostles, what are they doing? They're taking time out of their busy ministry schedule to stop and pray. You know, they had so many things going on in ministry that they realized that they must take time to pray, not only individually, but also with one another and even together corporately. In other words, they were too busy not to pray. Recently, our CF of Illinois State Office staff decided that we need to spend dedicated time in prayer every week for the ministry of CEF statewide. You know, it's so easy to get wrapped up in our own things or in our own ministry plans that we fail to see the bigger picture of the ministry needs of others all around us. So our goal now is that every Friday at 4 p.m., to stop and drop so that we can take time out to pray for others and to pray for the needs of ministry across the state. It's simply our desire to spend this time in weekly prayer to say to the Lord that we are dependent upon Him, and we know that we need to be dependent upon Him because we know that we can't, but we know and trust that only God can. You know, many of you know the Acts chapter 3 and 4 story from here. Peter and John, as they went into the temple, they met a lame man who was then healed by the power of the name of Jesus and then went walking and leaping and praising God. And by the end of that day, over 5,000 people, when they heard the word, believed in Jesus' name, all because of what? Because Peter and John took time out of their busy day to walk over to pray. Acts chapter 3 and 4 teach us a powerful truth that prayer and ministry go hand in hand. And just like the disciples Peter and John, prayer combined with ministry make a powerful team. But the Acts prayer ministry model is not just the key to fruitful ministry, it is also the key to facing challenges in ministry. Right after the great gospel response at the start of Acts 4, what do we see happen? We have the first opposition and persecution breaking out with Peter and John being brought before the Sanhedrin. And after they were questioned and threatened and then let go, how do they respond? We see the apostles and the believers, what are they doing? They're gathering together and lifting up their voice in one accord, praying to the Lord for boldness to speak God's word. And what was the result? Through turning their ministry challenge into a time of united lift up prayer, their ministry outreach not only continues, but the gospel went forth how? With great unity, with great power, but also with great grace as the gospel went out again with unshakable boldness. You know, anyone who has been around the block in ministry knows that the most grievous ministry challenges that we face do not come from without, but from within. And just a few chapters later, that's what we see happening in Acts chapter 6, where there's tensions between Grecian and Hebrew widows who are striving with and fussing with one another over something as simple as the distribution of food. And how again do we see the apostles respond and face this ministry internal challenge? Well, they gathered the multitude together and they affirmed their personal commitment as leaders to what? To prayer and to the word. And then they encouraged the others to prayerfully face this challenge and to prayerfully choose out men who would oversee this daily ministration. Here we see that the highest list of priority for leaders and ministry is the word of God and prayer. You know, more than ever today, we need our God-appointed leaders in ministry to pray, to lead us to pray, and to encourage us to pray. Now, for me, I know this is an area that I need to personally work on as a ministry leader. Recently, I shared with my staff that if I had to choose between prayer ministry and word ministry, you know, the studying and teaching of God's word, I would choose word ministry every time. It would win. I love to spend time in God's word. I love to study God's word. But do I love to pray? And do I take time as I should every day to faithfully pray? This is not meant to be a self-guilt trip, but it is a self-revelation that there is a grand canyon of a difference between my prayer life and my ministry life. And there is a great gap between my prayer ministry and my studying, teaching, word ministry. Yet, as a ministry leader, these two ministry pillars and practices must come together. As I was sharing this with my staff and we were looking at this prayer ministry model throughout the book of Acts, I told them that if our only takeaway from all of this is just to pray more or to pray more discipline or pray more consistently, then we have missed the point of the book of Acts. This is not the message that we need to take away from. Otherwise, we're just treating prayer like a rosary bead or like a Buddhist monk just spinning our sanctified prayer wheels. Well, what's the difference? The difference lies not in our time devoted to prayer, but our time devoted into whom we are praying to and to why we are praying. We are praying to our Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ by the enablement of the Holy Spirit, who is our indwelling helper. Our prayers are cries from our heart, and they're simply our prayers are just showing our utter dependence upon our Lord and saying, Lord, we know that we can't, and we trust and know that only you can, and we want to be dependent upon you. We look to you, Lord, for everything in our lives and everything in ministry. You know, from here in the book of Acts, we do a skip, jump, and a hop, highlighting the major prayer ministry moments. In Acts 7, we see Stephen was not only mighty in word, but he was also a man of prayer. Even in the midst of accusations flying, teeth gnashing, and stones pounding against him, Stephen looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and the Lord Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And Stephen, the first recorded martyr for Christ, with his dying breath, what does he do? He sinks to his knees and prayed for his murderers, including one named Saul of Tarsus. In Acts 9, Saul, the former persecutor of the church, just a couple chapters later, was now turned around by Christ himself on the Damascus Road. And what do we see first Saul doing? Well, he's praying and he's repenting before God for 3 days, waiting for God to send his servant Ananias to come and do what? To pray for him and proclaim to him the Lord's plan now for Saul's life. In Acts 10, Luke, the author of Acts, takes us, though, even deeper, like behind the scenes, to see even more clearly this prayer ministry model at work in the book of Acts. When did, in Acts chapter 10, when did the Lord send an angel to Cornelius and Caesarea to tell him where to find Peter and Joppa and call for him to come? Well, it was when Cornelius was praying. And how did God reveal to Peter by a vision and tell him that that which was deemed unclean is clean before the eyes of God? And then later the Spirit bid Peter to go with these men from Caesarea, doubting nothing. All this occurred when Peter was also praying. Through prayer, we see that God connected the ministry to the minister and the minister to the ministry. Here we see that prayer and open doors for ministry and gospel advancement go hand in hand. You know, time would fail us to tell how it was through prayer that the dead were raised to life, Acts 9. Through the prayer of God's people, Peter's prison's doors, they were open, Acts 12. Through prayer, Barnabas and Paul, laborers for the Lord, were sent out to do the work of the ministry, Acts 13. Through prayer and praise, prison walls were shaken, and prison guards and whole households came to Christ and were saved, Acts 16. And it was through prayer and times of consoling prayer that believers were comforted, even though they had to go their separate ways at times or may never see each other's face again this side of heaven, Acts 21. Over and again, we see this prayer ministry pattern woven together like a seamless thread running through the book of Acts. And how does the book of Acts end? Through Acts and the prison epistle letters combined, we see the Apostle Paul under house arrest in Rome. And what is he doing? He's pouring out his heart and prayer daily for the burden and the care of the churches resting upon him. With every prayer that Paul prayed and scripture stroke of Paul's pen, Paul was praying for the churches to stand strong in the Lord until the very end. If the takeaway from this prayer ministry model that we see here in the book of Acts is not simply pray more, then what is the message that we are to take to heart? In Acts, we see the importance of prayer, the practice of prayer, and the power of prayer, but undergirding and overriding every aspect of prayer is the purpose of prayer, to be what? To be absolutely dependent upon the Lord. C.S. Lewis was a prolific Christian author and scholar of the 19th century. The movie Shadowlands is based on C.S. Lewis's book that documents his time of sorrow and great grief at the loss of his newly wedded wife, Joy, to terminal cancer. During this trying time, C.S. Lewis, who was also known by his close friends and associates as Jack, was asked by one of his colleagues at Oxford one day, they said, "Jack, why do you pray? After all," they said, "if God is sovereign over everything, which is what you believe, including our circumstances, then Jack, what's the point of prayer?" C.S. Lewis answered, "I pray because I can't help to pray. It's like the air I breathe. Prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes me." For us as believers in Christ Jesus, prayer is the air that we breathe. Prayer is the language of our heart's cry. Prayer is our soul's desire to stay dependent and to be dependent upon the Lord, saying constantly to God, "God, I know I can't. Lord, I can't, but I know and trust that only you can." This is the prayer ministry model in the book of Acts, knowing that without the Lord that we cannot act or do anything apart from him. This is God's design for us both in life and in ministry, to be absolutely prayerfully dependent upon him. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.